At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we have what we call a Thousand Hills Code. A Thousand Hills Code. And you say, well, what is that? Well, it is our values that we ride by for fulfilling the purpose that God has given us. And one of those values is we ride new trails. We ride new trails. And you say, what does that mean? Well, we are going to do things that no one else is doing to reach people that no one else is reaching. Amen. And so we're gonna be creative. Here's the cool thing I love about Jesus. When you read the Bible, guess what he did? He was creative. In other words, he took what was the culture of the day, and then he made a spiritual application so that the people could understand the message that he was preaching. Are you with me? He did it, you know, if he was on the mountaintop, he used the mountains. If he was talking to musical people, he used music. If he was talking to shepherds, he talked about stinky, smelly sheep. Can I get an amen? Anybody show sheep? They stink. You always keep your goats away from sheep, by the way, because sheep have fungus. Anyways, so that's just a lesson for your ag. I actually have my 4-H colors on today. You notice that? But anyway, so Jesus, in the Bible, he took the culture of the day and he applied his teaching to the culture. Well, here's the thing. Here's the cool thing about our church. We love doing that as well. Sometimes you go, why are you a cowboy church? Why are you this? Why do you have this style? Well, we have this style on purpose. And we're going to do things that no one else is doing so that we can reach people that are far from God. And so today, I want to start a series. And the title of the series, it has to do with music. How many of you guys like music? Anybody like music? How many of you guys like George Strait? All the ladies in the house. Some of you guys are like, does he sing? I never noticed. I mean, my wife, a video of George Strait's come on and she's like, hey, babe, can I sit by you and watch? And I'm like, you didn't want to be close to me. You want to be close to him. So anyways, today I want to start a series called The Gospel According to George Strait. Amen. I know I just lost all the women because his picture's up on the screen. But focus, okay? Focus on what I'm saying today. Now, here's the thing. I want to take some of the songs, the popular songs that George sings, and I want to take, like Jesus, some spiritual truths from the songs that he sings so that today you may leave with another meaning to a song that George Strait sang. And when that song maybe comes on the radio next time, you're going to go, well, that's what God thinks about me. All right? And so today, listen, today's message is for those of you that maybe feel like you've never really been truly loved. Again, some of you guys are here today and you're like, man, I've looked for love in all the wrong places. I've been in relationships. I've, you know, looked for money to fulfill me. I've looked for my job or my hobbies or even religion. I mean, I've tried all the churches and all the religious stuff. Can I just tell you, some of you guys you're here today and you're disappointed because you've never really felt true love. And now here's what I want to tell you today. God loves you. God loves you. And you say, well, why? Well, here's why. It just comes natural.
Sun shines, clouds rain, train whistles blow and guitars play. Preachers preach, farmers plow, wishes go up and the world goes round. And I love you, it just comes natural. It just comes natural. Seasons change, rivers wind, tumbleweeds roll and the stars shine. Wind howls, dawn breaks, and cowboys riding time slips away. And I it just comes natural. What I was born to do, don't have to think it through, baby. It's so easy loving you. It just comes natural.
It just comes natural. Again, you say, why are we doing a series like this? Well, I want you to learn some awesome truths about God. And the truth is, His love for you, it just comes natural. It just comes natural. Amen? That's a good thing. And again, some of you guys are here today, and you may feel like, you know, I don't know if that's true for me. I mean, I've done some pretty sorry things in my life. I don't know that God can truly love me. Well, here's the first thing that I want you to learn today. God's love just comes natural to Him because God is love. God is love. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, God is the truest definition of calling a spade a spade. When it comes to love, He doesn't just raise the bar. He is the bar. Amen? And so He loves us. Listen to the words of John as he describes who God actually is. Listen to it in 1 John 4. It says this, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from who? Comes from God." Let's say that together. Love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. And you say, what does it mean for God to actually be love? Well, here's the truth. It's not just the actions that He does. It's not just what He does. It's actually who He is. I mean, I don't know if you've thought about it, but as I've studied on this, I thought about it. It's actually who He is. Every thought that God has is love. Every word that God speaks is love. Every teaching that He teaches is love. From Genesis to Revelation, God is love. He's love. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 with me. Listen to God's definition of love. And you could replace the word love with the name God. And so look at it with me. And it goes like this. Love is patient and kind. Love is not, it is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, and always is hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Do you see it? I mean, the definition of love is who God is. When you see the word love there, you see actually God's name because it's who He is. In other words, God is patient. He is kind. He's not proud in a bad sense. I mean, He has much to be proud of. I mean, He's God, but He's not rude. And my favorite one is He doesn't keep record of our wrongs. Amen? That's an amazing thing because I've done a lot of wrong things. Amen? I tried to choke a pig this weekend, but you can't get your arms around a pig. Anybody with me? I got my 4-H. I got to be honest. Just kidding. But there are so many things that we've done wrong, but God says, hey, I'm not going to keep record of that because I'm love. I'm going to forgive you of that. And not only that, did you catch the last part of that verse? In that scripture, it says, love never gives up. Do you realize that some of you guys are here today and you're thinking, God gave up on me a long time ago? Listen, love is who God is. Therefore, love never gives up. God is not going to ever give up on you. Love never loses faith. In other words, God has never lost His faith in you. He still has a purpose and a plan for your life. And you should never lose faith in Him because He loves you. Love is always hopeful. Therefore, God is always hopeful. Love endures through every circumstance. Therefore, God will endure with you through every circumstance of your life. And so this is who God is. And guess what? That love, it just comes natural. And so the first thing is God's love just comes natural to Him because God is love. Now, here's the question that we have to answer. If God is love, What should our response be to his love? What should our response be? I mean, if he's going to love us that much, what should we do about it? Well, number two is this. We should accept his love. You got to accept it. It's one thing for you to be given a gift. It's another thing to receive it. How many of you guys are terrible at receiving gifts? Anybody terrible at receiving gifts? It's kind of awkward when people give you a gift. And sometimes, you know, let's just be honest. Sometimes you're looking at it and you're like, is this really the gift? Anybody really? Anybody? Come on, be honest. Come on, join us sinners. Join us sinners, please. I mean, my wife, she's beautiful and all that and everything. Can I tell a story? But sometimes she'll buy things, you know, and maybe it's a shirt or maybe something and she likes it, but maybe I don't. Anybody with me? And so, men, here's what you have to learn. You have to learn to train your face. Amen. When they give you things, you're like, I love this. This is the best gift I've ever had. I'm going to wear this with pride. Amen, guys. Amen. Can I get an amen from the guys? I mean, sometimes we're awkward about receiving gifts, right? Some of you guys are really good at it. How many of you guys are really good at receiving gifts? You're like, bring it on, man. I just want all those gifts. Thank you so much. It's about time. You know? I mean, but to be honest with you, sometimes, listen, sometimes many of us, we're awkward when it comes to accepting God's love for us because we don't feel like we're worthy. Again, so many of us have failed God. So many of us are, you know, afraid that he's not going to really, truly love us because of the things that we've done in our lives. Well, can I just have you listen to John's words again about what, you know, how God loves us? Look at 1 John 4 again. It says, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more what? It grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is, you know, for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. You know what that verse is telling us? We have to accept his love. And when we accept his love, listen, we are going to grow more perfect in his love. And guess what that perfect love does for us? It casts out all the fear. Amen? Let's get some clapping over here. How about that? Jeff, come on, buddy. I mean, we got the clapping section over here. We need some on the, you know, the north side. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just telling you, because he loved us, and because when we accept his love, guess what? It can cast out all your fears. That's what he wants to see in your life, is for you to be confident that he loves you no matter what you've done. You may be here today, and again, maybe some of you are committing a sin in your life that you think no one else knows about. Maybe you've committed some sins in the past that you think no one knows about. Can I just share a secret with you? God knows your sin. He knows you completely. And can I just tell you a truth, another truth? He still loves you. He still loves you. Again, yeah. You can, listen, you can hide it from me, the preacher. You can hide it from your spouse. You can hide it from your family. You can hide it from your mom, but you can't hide it from God. And in spite of your sin, God says, I love you. And you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. I mean, I want you to prove it. Well, here's how I will prove it. Romans 5:8 says this. But God showed his great love for us by sending who? Christ to die for us while we were still what? Sinners. Here's the truth. God proved his love before you proved your love for him. Amen. He proved his love by sending his one and only son while you were still stuck in your sin. Before you ever said, God, I need you. Before you ever said, God, thank you for loving me. Before you ever acknowledged anything to him, he said, I love you no matter what. And I'm going to send my son to die for you so that you could have eternal life with me. And he did it while we were still dirty in our sin. But here's the cool thing. You have to accept his love. You have to accept it. It's one thing to give it, but it's another thing to actually receive it. And so many people, they're like, you know what, Bo? Every time I've shown somebody love, they've always wanted something from me. Anybody ever been there? I got an amen, a hearty amen over here. But so many times we go, yeah, man, I love you, or I love what that, or I love this. And they, again, maybe are expecting something from you. Can I just give you a little hint? God expects something from you as well. And you know what it is? Your heart. Nothing else. He just wants your heart. He wants you to accept his love into your life and into your heart. And it's, again, it's unconditional. You say, no, God probably wants me to, you know, pay him back somehow. You can't pay back his love. It's free. Actually, it's not free, because Jesus gave his life so that you could be set free. Amen? And so God says, I want you to accept my love no matter what you've done. Just like the song says, you know, sun shines, you know, clouds rain, seasons change and rivers wind. But God says, I love you. It just comes natural. It's what he was born to do. And it doesn't, you know, he doesn't have to think it through. It's so easy to love you because it just comes natural to him. And so God's love is natural because God's love is, it's who he is. And our response should be that we should, first of all, accept it. The third thing is this. We should, in response to God's love, we should love others because he loves us. We should love others because he loves us. In other words, we should what? Give it away. Give it away. Anybody get that reference? That's another George Strait song that you need to listen to. But we should give it away, right? I mean, you say, well, what does loving others do? I want you to hear this. If I love others, what does that actually do for people? I mean, shouldn't we be preaching truth? Shouldn't we, you know, be, you know, showing them the Bible and all those things? And again, yes, we should. But if you do it without love, the Bible says you're just a clanging cymbal. Annoying. Annoying. Have you ever been around a cymbal? Have you ever been around a junior high kid in the band? It's a pretty annoying just to hear that cymbal, right? It's the same way when we preach the word of God, when we, you know, try to be a good, godly Christian, but we do not show love, it's annoying to the world around us. And God says, I want you to show love. And you say, well, what does it do again for others? Well, first of all, it brings the unchurched to Christ. Amen? Yeah. Some of you guys are living witnesses to someone loving you, and because they loved you enough to invite you to church or to just share Jesus with you, you now have an eternity in heaven because they loved you. And so it brings people to Christ. Look at John 13. It says this. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, and Jesus is talking here, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the who? The world that you are my disciples. You are my disciples. So here's the thing. Accepting God's love and then giving it away is going to change somebody else's life for eternity. And here's what I've learned. There are some unlovable people in our world. Don't say amen too loud. But there are. But I'm telling you, the most unlovable person around you, you think no one can love them. But here's what I want you to realize. God loves them just like he loves you. You think, well, I go to church and I'm a good Christian person and I preach, you know, I preach, I'm a preacher. I do all those things. No, listen, God loves the slut just as much as he loves you. Amen. He loves the person that's addicted to gambling just as much as he loves you. He loves the person addicted to meth just as much as he loves you. He loves the murderer, the thieves. He loves them all just as much as he loves you. And guess what? For you to withhold your love because they may not be, you know, as Christian as you are, again, shame on you for doing that. Because God sent his son not to just die for you, but to die for the world. And so you say, well, how does my love change other people? How do I, you know, accepting God's love into my life and then giving it away, how does that change people? It brings them to Jesus. And that's the most important purpose that we have in our life. You say, well, what else? What else does it do for the world? Or what else does it do when we love others? Well, here's what it does. Loving others unites the church. I want you to hear this. When you love other people that are in the church, it unites the church. Listen to 1 John 4:20 and 21. It says this. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a, and it's not underlined, but who are they? They're a liar. For if we do not love people we can see, then how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. Some of you guys need to hear this. There have been people in this church or in another church or wherever it is that have hurt you. They've said something. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe it was unintentional. Maybe they shared something personal that they shouldn't have shared. And you're thinking, I'm going to write them off. They are dead to me. Can I just tell you? That's not what God wants you to do. God says he wants you to fight for agreement. He wants you to fight for forgiveness. He wants you to fight for them. He wants you to love them. He wants you to bless them. He doesn't want you to kick them while they're down. He doesn't want you to hold it against them. He wants you to help lift them up. It's what we're supposed to do. It's what we're called to do. It's called love. And if I, again, I'll use my wife. We get into arguments sometimes. And again, maybe I don't feel like loving her. Maybe I know she doesn't feel like loving me. But listen, it's at that point that love really shows its true colors. Are you with me? So some of you guys are looking around and maybe you're offended. Maybe you're offended by another church preacher or whatever it is. You need to get right with God by getting right with them. And you need to love them. You need to forgive them. Because here's what it does. It unites the church. Here's what I believe. God didn't say that we should turn the other cheek when someone offends us because he wanted us to be a coward. No, here's why he says turn the other cheek. Because everybody else is watching. We turn the other cheek because the world is watching us. Not because he wants us to be a coward. Right? And so that shows the world that we're going to love each other no matter what. We're going to forgive each other. We're going to go to each other and we're going to reconcile whatever differences we have because we are the church and we can do things a whole lot better together than we can do on our own. Amen? And so we are going to fight for those things, fight for the love, fight, you know, to trust first, to love first, to forgive first. And you say, why do I need to do that? Here's why. Because that's the way God loves you. Jesus never said, hey, you know, again, you do right by me and then I'm going to do right by you. No, he says, I'm going to do right by you no matter if you do right by me. He says, I'm going to love you no matter what you do. And I'm going to, you know, going to love you no matter what sin you commit. I'm going to love you no matter how you fail me. And guess what? The church is called to do the same thing. And so today, I want you to know and I want you to hear that God loves us and his love just comes natural to him because God is love. And here's the thing. Our response should be we should accept his love and then give it away. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a second? Again, some of you are here today and you're like, Bo, how do I start accepting his love? I mean, what does that look like? Well, here's the answer. It starts by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's where it starts. You can come to church, and that's awesome. You can be a good person. You can be a moral person. But until you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come into your life and forgive you, listen, you're missing the real boat. I mean, I know a lot of good people. I know a lot of moral people. But here's what I learned a long time ago. Good old boys, they don't go to heaven. Moral people doing things so that we can earn God's salvation, they don't go to heaven. It's those people that have said, you know what? I can't do it on my own. I'm not good enough to get in. I'll never be good enough to get in. And I need Jesus. And so maybe you're here today and you need to accept Jesus into your life. I mean, it's the greatest gift that you'll ever receive, which is His love and His forgiveness. Listen to one other scripture with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Listen to how God showed His love through Jesus. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Here's the truth. God didn't just say He loved you. He showed it. He showed it by sending His Son to die for you. And here's the thing. He didn't just die for your past sins. He died for your future sins. He's covered them all. And so some of you are here today and you need to accept Him into your life for the very first time. He's offered it maybe time and time again and you've rejected it. You said, I don't know that I'm worthy. But today I want you to know that you are not worthy. That's why you need Jesus. Because He's the one who can save you. You'll never be good enough. That's why you need Jesus. That's why you need His grace. That's why you need His love. Because He's the only one that can truly love you. And so you say, well, how do I accept Him into my life? Well, the Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And so one of the things that we like to do is we like to invite people to accept Jesus into their life. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, just like the verse says, we offer you a time where you can confess Him as your Lord and Savior. And again, it's not about the words. It's about your heart. It's not about being in church to do it. You can do it anywhere. But we want to give you an opportunity. And so maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus into your life. Maybe you need to do that today. Maybe you just need to pray something like this. Maybe just in your chair, silently, in your heart, you just need to pray this prayer to God. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know that I have rejected your love. But today, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Forgive me of all the things I've done wrong. I accept your forgiveness and I accept your love. I confess you as my Lord. I confess you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. We celebrate that. It is the greatest decision that you've ever made in your life. And we praise God that you have accepted His love today and His forgiveness into your life. I'm telling you, you have never made a better decision than you have made to accept Him into your life today. Here's the other thing that I want to say before we close. Maybe you're here today and you've failed God. You know God, you know Christ, you've given Him your life, but you failed Him. You've done something that you know is wrong, and you're wondering, does He still love me? Again, I want you to hear the words that God still loves you. He still wants a growing personal relationship with you. He still wants you to come to Him and to receive His forgiveness. And so maybe you're here today and you're living in some sin that you think nobody knows. But again, the truth is God knows. And He wants you to come back to Him. And so maybe in your chair, you're a Christian, but you need to confess some sin to God. Maybe you just pray something like this. Jesus, you know that I am living in this sin. You know that I've committed that sin. And I'm asking you to forgive me today. Not only am I asking you to forgive me, I'm asking you to help me not to go back to that sin again. Give me the strength and the power. Help me to get involved in this church so that I can find strength in other people. Help me to get into your word and to study your word so that I don't enter back into the sin that I think that nobody knows, but you know. And so forgive me today. I want to receive your love. I want to accept it in my life. Listen, maybe you prayed that with me. I hope that you did, and I hope that you confessed your sin so that you can become right with the Lord. Here's the last thing that I want to say. Some of you, you need to start loving others better. Some of you are maybe a little judgmental. Some of you look at other people and instead of feeling compassion on them, you judge them or you criticize them or you say, well, how could they? Well, here's the truth. They sin just like you sin. Then we're all sinners and we all fall short. And so for some of you, you need to make a commitment to God to say, you know what, Lord, help me to love those who are far from you. Help me to love those who are, in many cases to the world, they're unlovable. Help me to give all my love to those people so that we can change the world through your love. And Lord, if there's somebody that you know that I've, you know, not forgiven, help me to get their forgiveness. Help me to pursue their forgiveness so that I can be right with you and I can show them the love that you have shown me. Again, maybe you just prayed that prayer with me and you made that commitment. I hope that you did. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Heather's going to come, make some closing comments, and we're going to be dismissed. But my hope is today that you realize that God loves you. And He wants you to accept that love and give that love to others. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share your love with other people. It's the greatest purpose that you've given us in life. And Lord, today I pray that you have set people free from their past and their sin through your love and through their asking for your forgiveness. And so, Lord, today we thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. And Lord, may we show that love and that forgiveness to other people as well. We give you the praise. In your name I pray. Amen.